significance and importance of Exodus 18. So what was the journey that we've been traveling on? Well, let's have a look at the journey that we've been traveling on. This is the journey we've been going. Just to recall, and if you're new to the book of Exodus, this is basically it. In chapter 1, we were introduced to the people in slavery. In chapter 2, God rescues and raises a new leader, which we know is Moses. In chapter 3 to 4, God recruits this leader and calls him to start taking up the position. When you come to chapter 5 to 15, God rescues his people. And then as he rescues them, we have the great sort of parting on the Red Sea. We see the triumphal singing as they look back and how God has destroyed his enemies. And then chapter 16, 17, they leave the Red Sea and they start their trek to the Promised Land. And guess what we find? They begin to grumble and complain. Not even 3 days into the journey, they complain that there's no water. 2 months in journey, they complain there's no food. And lastly, they complain about water. Again, there's always this complaint. When you come to chapter 19, 20, moving fast forward, God brings his people, and then the people meet God. And then chapters 21 to 40, God gives rules and regulations how they're going to live together so that God doesn't destroy them. The big question in chapter 18 is, what is the place of chapter 18 in the whole scheme of things? What is the place of chapter 18? And that's my big question. How does chapter 18? And what is even more puzzling to me is that chapter 18 seems to just come out of nowhere. If you look at chapter 18, it's essentially about a family reunion where Moses finally catches up with his father-in-law, his wife and his kid. They have a family reunion talking about what's been happening. And then the second half of chapter 18, Jethro sees what Moses is doing and gives him some fatherly advice about how to work better, right? But I have to say that chapter 18 has bugged me for many, many years. And why is that? Because it just seems to come out of nowhere. You have this epic journey of great miracles, of plagues, of God's great provision. You have this a spectacular scene in chapter 19 to chapter 20 where God finally meets his people face to face. And 21 to 40, as it says there, God sets down rules and regulations how they're going to live together, work together, and not destroy each other, so to speak. But it's stuck in right in the middle of this is chapter 18, a family reunion, some fatherly advice, and it does seem to be quite strange and at odds, and how does it fit in, all right? Now, before we do that, right, okay, you can't see my screen. Can you see my, oops, let's see, I'm done by my dear wife, you're not seeing my screen. Can you see my screen now? Okay, let me try and do a recap. Okay, that's chapter 3. Sorry, I forgot to share my screen. Technical difficulty. All right, there you can see it. Family reunion. Okay, now we're ready to go, right? Now, chapter 18, as I said, is very strange. It seems to come out of nowhere. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get, when you see the sort of background and the what's going on, I want to get Marcus now going to read the Bible for us. And in so doing, I want you to ask, there's one simple question I want to ask you. What is the function and the role of chapter 18? Okay, that's a simple question. What is the function and role of chapter 18? Why is it there when you look at the epic flow of the whole story of Exodus? Okay, so Marcus is going to read the Bible to us now. And after Marcus, it's going to come back to me. So, Marcus, over to you to read the Bible, chapter 18.
Thank you, Ian. Exodus 18. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people in Israel. And now the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife, Zipporah, his father-in-law, Jethro, received her and her two sons. One name One son was named Gershon, for Moses said, have become a foreigner in a foreign land. And the other was named Elijah, for he said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' son and wife, came to him in the wilderness where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptian for Israel's sake, and about all the hardship they met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord has done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptian. He said, praise be the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptian and the Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptian. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifice to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning to evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge? Why all these people stand around you from morning to evening? Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourself out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as official over thousands, hundreds, and fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judge for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. They will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands you, you'll be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, official of over thousands, hundreds, and fifties, and tens. They serve as judges for the people at all times. The difficult case they brought to Moses, but a simple one they decide themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. I pass it to Ying for the sermon.
Great. Okay. Now you've heard the Bible reading, and you can see the story. Okay, Moses and Jethro has a family reunion, as you can see on the screen. I hope you can see the screen. Can you see the screen? Yes, just give me a thumbs up. Yes, okay. As you can see, they've had a family reunion. They have a good chin wag, they exchange, talk about what's happened, and Jethro gives father advice. Now, my question is, what is the function? What I want you to do is on the chat line to write down what do you see is the purpose of chapter 18, okay? Now, I know for some of us, we're new Bible reading, that's okay. Some of us have been reading the Bible for many years. I'd like you to share your ideas and your insight. It's what you see is a function of chapter 18 and the big idea of chapter 18. Let's have some people chat on the line because I'd love to hear what other people think. Now, Jeanette has made some good point. God shows Moses that he cannot do everything in leading the people. That's a great idea. Listening to others, yes, from Hudson, about learning to listen to others, yes. And Moses certainly learned to listen to his father-in-law. Always a good fatherly lesson. Always listen to your father-in-laws, okay? Okay, anyone else? Agree with Jeanette, God teaches Moses through Jethro to delegate duties, yeah. Wisdom from God, how to serve together, not alone. Yeah, I think this chapter is about listening and learning. Listening and learning. Yep, good point. Have more people to help them in learning. Yep, the very beginning of a judicial system. Interesting. Beginning, that's very different. Learning, delegation, organization. Anything else? Let's have a few more. How to govern the people. Yep, how to govern the people. And just one more, lucky last, going once, God tells Moses he needs help. That's a great thing. I think they're all great ideas and greater answers. I have to say, I've read many commentaries on chapter 18. One of my biggest, and a lot of these commentaries talk about Moses need to focus on leadership skills, organization skills, about work-life balance, etc., etc. One of my struggles in reading chapter 18 is that many people focus on chapter 18, but do not help me to understand how chapter 18 fits in with the flow of the whole storyline of Exodus. As you can see there, right, from chapters 1, if people slavery, God raises a leader, God recruits a leader, God rescues the people, the people grumble. Then later on, after this, God meets his people, learn to live with God. And then we have a family reunion. It's like a little snapshot, a pause button, family reunion. So why is this here? I actually want to suggest to you that chapter 18 is a quite important book. Why is that? Because it actually serves like bookends. Now, can you see the sort of graph there? Can you see it? Just make sure we're on the same page. It actually serves like a bookend. That is the chapter 2. We are introduced to Moses, who is being rejected by the people of Israel. Moses comes in and he sorts out a squabble between two Jews. And the question they say to Moses, who put you leader over us? And then he flees and he meets Jethro. Jethro is a priest of Midian. Then from chapters 3 to 17 is all about people saying and people complain. And then when you come to chapter 18, what do? We're introduced to Jethro once again. But this time, Jethro has now developed his thinking because what? He now becomes a believer. But not only that, we now see Jethro, Moses also being established as a leader. So what they do is they serve, chapter 18 serves like the other bookend of chapter 2. You could say that chapter 2 and chapter 18 contains the whole Exodus epic account. That being said, then what is the purpose of chapter 18? Let me suggest to you that chapter 18 serves like what is the role? Chapter 18 serves three important functions. One, it highlights a very important contrast. Two, it gives us an important summary. And three, it leads to an important transition. It's a contrast because Jethro here is set in contrast to the people of Israel. It's a summary because what you see in the dialogue between Moses and Jethro is a summary of all that God has done and a reminder that what Exodus is really all about. And thirdly, it's a transition from the people becoming a mob to them becoming a nation, which is then picked up in chapter 19. So I think chapter 18 says it's a contrast, a summary, and a transition. Well, let's have a look at this a bit more in detail. Let's have a look at this one. Firstly, it's a transition. Remember, if you recall from last week, we looked at the people of Israel, and one of the big take-home points from the people of Israel, what was that? They were constantly complaining. Even though they had seen and experienced and tasted the power and the provision and the goodness of God, they continued to complain, complain, and complain. And for them, and what we learned from that, there's a big misunderstanding that we often think that seeing is believing, right? This is how we often think. But the people of Israel reminded us that seeing is not always believing. Rather, what we have in the person of Jethro is someone who hears, who does not see, yet he believes. All that we see in Jethro as a contrast is someone who actually hears the word of God and he believes. Well, this is where we are introduced to Jethro. So Jethro is in stark contrast. What do we know about Jethro? Jethro is a priest from Midian. And you can see that. I don't know if you can see my sort of cursor there. Can you see my cursor? There's Midian. And the people of Israel from there, they journey down and they land around here just at the bottom of Mount Sinai. And Jethro, who lives in Midian, works in Midian, comes over and catches up with his son-in-law, Moses. But what is important here is that Jethro, what is very important is Jethro is presented as someone who heard and thus he believed. Have a look at this passage here. I want you to notice the key point. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, note the word, he heard. Again, the same thing I point out in verse 8. Moses told. How do you hear? Because someone tells you. He didn't see it. Jethro never saw it, but what he did do is he heard from Moses again as well. And again, Jethro is delighted to hear about all the good things that God had done for them. And the emphasis is very clear. Jethro heard all that God had done. He heard on the grapevine about the news that had what had happened in Egypt. He heard the news about about what God had done, and it spread like wildfire. And he hears it from Moses himself, as you see there, back there. Moses told his father-in-law. And what is astonishing here is that not only did Jethro hear the news that's going around, this news was so spectacular, so enormous, that we also hear, that we also learn that the news goes on far wider and is in heard 40 years later. Listen to this one here. In the book of Joshua, 40 years later, in the land of Philistine, which is long way away, in the land of Philistine, the people also hear 40 years later of what has happened in the past. Have a look at verse 8. Let me read it out. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you, because we have heard. What did they hear about 40 years later in the land of Canaan and Philistine? We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And look at verse 11. When we heard of it, our hearts melted. It's an incredible thought that you have people here, like you have Jethro who heard, you have the Canaanites who 40 years later still hearing the news of what happened 40 years prior, and they are melting in fear. Jethro is a sign of someone who hears and believes. Now, that being said, right, I think we need to be clear that there are two types of hearing. There are those who hear and it does nothing for them. They do not change. But there are those in here that does lead to change. And I think what you see in the story of Jethro, oops, sorry about the microphone, in the story of Jethro is someone who hears and responds appropriately. And that's in contrast to, say, the people of Canaan and Philistine 40 years later, because when they hear what happens, there's a great fear and their hearts melt out of fear because of what they heard. But not so with Jethro, because what do we see with Jethro? When he heard, he said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of Egypt." Verse 11, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods." Jethro heard, and he believed. But that leads me to the second thing. What did he hear? And so we come to this passage here, which is a summary discussion of the dialogue between Jethro and Moses. And what did he hear? He heard about the good news. He heard about the good news of salvation. That is what he heard. You see, the Israelites saw the gospel. They saw what God had done, but they refused to believe. In contrast, Jethro heard the good news of what God had done, and he believed. And what was that good news? Have a look at what it says here. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian and father of Moses, heard, and what did he hear? Everything God had done for Moses and for his people. Everything. And how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Listen again. Moses told, remember? And what did Moses tell Jethro? Everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake and about all the hardships they had met along the way. And lastly, Jethro was delighted to hear the word hear, about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the land of the Egyptians. In other words, what we have here is a summary and a reflection of the whole Exodus account. And what was the whole Exodus account? What is the whole Exodus account? Was it about kings and gods like Hollywood production? And if you notice how what it says here, how a man defied an empire and changed the world. Is it really about how a man defied an empire and changed the world? Is it about Moses and his great feats? No. What does the exchange between Jethro and Moses show us? It's about God. It's about the God who rescued his people. This is why the Hollywood recounting of Exodus just gets it completely wrong. It's not about the underdog. It's always about God. And this is an important thing for us. This is why this account is so important, because it's so easy to misunderstand what the Exodus account is all about. And the exchange between Jethro and Moses is a summary reflection on all that has happened. And what's he actually saying? Did you hear about all the good things that God has done? Did you hear about the things which God has rescued his people? You see, what we have here is a summary of the Christian message. It's a summary of the message that we as Christians have proclaimed from generation to generation and from nation to nation. See, we need to ask the question, what is the gospel? What is the gospel that we proclaim? What is the Christian message that we proclaim? And I want to say the Christian message, what is the gospel? It is none other than good news. It is good news. Is that something that has happened? See, Jethro heard about something that happened. Moses tells Jethro about something that has happened. It is good news. It is about an event that has happened. It is breaking news. And what is the news? It is about how God has defeated his enemies, how God has rescued his people. This is what the gospel is all about. It is about God rescuing, about God defeating his people. And that's an important thing for us always to remember, because I actually want to say here that we keep getting the gospel mixed up. Many times we talk about the gospel as being good advice or good opinion. We talk about the gospel as being something which is going to help you get a job or about your marriage or something like that. That may be true, but really the gospel is an event about what God has done to defeat God's enemies and to rescue his people. This is the message of the gospel. And you know what's the most amazing thing? Is that what that the message that went around, Jethro actually understood clearly. Because notice what Jethro says here. Here is Jethro recounting what he heard. Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, who rescued the people. In verse 11, now I know the Lord is greater than all their gods, for he did this to those who treated Israel arrogantly. Right? You see what it's saying here? That the message that was spread around was the right message that he picked up. And not only that, and remember the impact that this gospel had on Jethro. Because look at verse 10, it says, praise be to the God, to the Lord. In verse 11, notice what it says. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the other gods. Not only did he get it right, it actually impacted his life so that he kind of realized that this God is the true and living God. You know, one of the most important things that for us to pause and reflect on is the need to be clear in our communication what the gospel is. The truth of the matter is one of the problems that the Bible constantly warns us against is false teaching. But the other danger the Bible warns against us is sloppy communication. I think a lot of times we are very confused in what we believe, or if we're not confused, we're very confused in what we say to other people, so much so that a lot of people actually don't understand what people are saying or understand what the gospel is from our lips. Now, I want to do a simple poll here, a simple poll, and there's two simple questions with two, they only have, and two, and one, two choices. What I want you to do, I'm going to try and launch the poll now. Can anyone see the poll? Can you see the poll? Okay. What I want you to do is answer the poll. Are you confident to share the gospel simply and clearly to others? Have you been through a simple evangelism course? Just type it in. Okay, let's do a simple poll. Just press yes or no. Okay, let's keep going. We only got 24 responses. Okay, is that it? Let's share results. Can anyone see the results there? Cool. That's quite encouraging, right? Are you confident to share the gospel simply and clearly? That is really great. Have you been through a simple evangelism course? Most of us have done that, which is good. But I want to encourage all those who have not to actually sign up for some evangelism course, whether it could be something like this one. Can you see my screen? Can you see my screen again? The Two Ways to Live? Yep. This is a course that I went through many years ago, but it doesn't have to be that sort of thing. It could be something like Evangelism Explosion, which I know other people have actually gone through. But the simple thing I want to say to us is that we need to be good, clear communicators. Why is that? Because the way people come to believe in the true and living God is what? Not necessarily by seeing, because the Israelites saw, but by hearing. Hearing the good news about all that God has done and hearing the good news how God has defeated his enemies. So this passage here sets for us a contrast between Jethro and what the people of Israel are like. And this passage here gives us a summary of all that has gone on. It's really the good news about what God has done. But here's a third thing. it sets before us a transition to the next phase in the storyline. Because what do we see is the good news? What is the good news? It's not just simply that God rescues his people, but the fact that God is forming a new nation. Now, when you look at chapter 18, right, what do we see in chapter 18? Moses is now working his butt off, and he's busy from sun up to sundown, legislating, adjudicating, determining, hearing cases and something like that. And Jethro says, that's not good. You've got to set up a system in which people can take their cases to other people, and you take the big cases. And what is God actually doing? What is Jethro instructing Moses to do? Actually, he's instructing to set up a government, basically. A government. A structured judicial government, which is what Marcus said in the chat line. And in that, not only that, it's very clear in this government that Moses is the leader. He's the one who points all the leaders. He's the one who delegates their responsibilities. But not only is he the leader who represents man, he's very clearly the leader who represents God. And that's important because remember in chapter 2, the people of Israel challenged his leadership. But now when you come to chapter 18, his leadership is firmly entrenched. But he needs to ask a question here. What sort of nation is God building? Because building God, what we see here is that God is building a nation. And this therefore leads us, transitions us to chapter 19 and onwards, where God will actually spell out what sort of nation that God is actually setting up here in the amongst the people of Israel. But that being said, one important thing that we need to remember here is that when God saves people, he doesn't just save them as individuals. He saves them to be part of a community. He saves them to be part of a nation. CCC is a community which God has set up. Remember this thing that we heard? I don't know if you can see it, actually. Can you hear it? Oh, sorry.
I don't deserve to pass through after all the mistakes that I've made. Oh, but I heard a whisper as heaven bent down. Said, child, don't you know that the first will be last and the last get a crown?
The whole point there, right, is that we are a community. We're a community of believers. God has saved us not just to be individuals, but to be part of a community, a family, a nation. And what you see in chapter 18 is the establishment of a nation. What sort of nation that will be? God will spell that out in chapter 19 to 20 and onwards, subject of what sort of nation is this. But it's an important thing, I want us to keep saying that, remember. See, that's why it's not enough for us to just come to church in the student service and then leave off without even engaging with each other. That's why it's not enough that you come to service, you listen to sermon, but you don't talk to each other. Imagine going to a family dinner. Imagine going to family dinner, and what you do in that family dinner is that you don't talk to the father. There's something wrong there. Or you don't even listen to the father. There's something wrong. Or you come to the family dinner and you just have a chat to the father, but you don't talk to your siblings. There's something dysfunctional about that family dinner. That's why church is always a vertical. God speaking to us. We speaking to God. And that's why there's always a horizontal dimension where we speak to each other, because that is how a family works, how a community works. And this, I could say, is how a nation works. And there is a judiciary, the government, the leader from the top, who instructs. There is us speaking to the leaders about what our needs are. And there are us where we have obligations to each other because we belong to each other. But in this nation, who is the leader of this nation? Well, it's the Lord Jesus. He is the head of this church. It's interesting in Exodus 18, Moses is clearly set up not only as the one who forms the nation, but he's set up as a leader. And that's an anticipation that when you come to the New Testament, who is the leader, who is the head of this new community? It's the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is the one who both provides and who protects and is powerful to grow this nation of ours. So when you look at this book of Exodus chapter 18, one of the three things that this text, Acts chapter 18, reminds us, it reminds us it's about a contrast. Here, where the people of Israel basically saw but they did not believe, Jethro heard and he believed and he worshipped God and recognized that God is a true and living God. It's a summary. It's so confusing. A lot of times it's confusing about what Exodus is about. But in Exodus, in the account between Jethro and Moses, it reminded that Exodus was all about what God did to rescue his people. And lastly, it's a transition. It's the starting of the formation of a new nation, which God will spell out lastly. So what does it mean for us? And I want to say three simple things that we need to go away. One, we need to rejoice. Because this is what God has done for us. He has rescued us from sin and from Satan. He's rescued us. He has set up Jesus as to be the Lord of our nation. And Jesus reminds us, tells us very powerfully that he will be with us to the very end of the earth. Two, we need to keep reminding each other of the good things which God has done for us in the Lord Jesus. So when we gather together, what should we be talking about? Well, you talk about the same things that Moses talked about when he had that family reunion, recounting all the good things that God has done for us in the Lord Jesus, and retelling the good news to those outside so that they can know that God is the true and living God and that there is no other God besides him. Rejoice, remind, and retell. Let me close in prayer, then I'm going to hand over to Jamie. Let me pray. Father, we give you thanks for the good news that you have defeated your enemies, the good news, Lord, that you have rescued us from sin and from Satan, and you've made us into a nation. Jesus is the head. We give you thanks. And as we meet together, we might learn to rejoice in you, to remind each other good things, and to keep telling people about the good news of what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Over to Jamie. Significance and importance of Exodus 18.